The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Live from Nakatomi Towers in downtown Los Angeles, Just for Men and Cialis present Footy Prime the Podcast, live at Sirius XM, starring Jiminy Brennan, Amony Walsh,
hello,
Craigany Forrest,
hello,
Danny Wong, and James and a name Charmin. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Yes, JC.
Yeah, are we actually sponsored by Cialis? And if so, can we get some?
You'll get a stiff neck
using that.
Yeah. Asking for a friend.
Yes, yeah, of course. Of course. Hey, listen, how many Footy Primers can you fit in one Sirius XM studio?
That'd be 5, 6. 6?
Yeah, all of us. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm miles away.
Less if Cialis is the sponsor.
Yes. Well.
4.
Yeah. So, yes, Footy Prime. It's the first time, second time kind of doing a Sirius XM studio shoot, but first time with all of us because Dubs is here from Montreal. Craig's here this time. He wasn't last time.
No.
We don't know where we're going to go with this.
That is correct.
Well, we kind of
It's much like Footy Prime. You know, nothing changes. It's still a podcast.
Yeah.
We just look better and it's lit.
And we look at the camera when we talk, right?
Yeah, let's do the typical North American sports presentation.
No.
Ask me a question. Any question.
Charms, how do you get up for a podcast at Sirius XM?
With great difficulty.
And Cialis.
Yeah, he's just staring. Yeah, well, there's that. It's a busy time for football. Next week is international week again.
Oh, my God.
Another window. Tomorrow, I just heard it from Canada Soccer. I mean, it's no secret, but tomorrow they announced their squad. And as was reported by Matty Schneider from TSN and Joshua Cloak at The Athletic, there'll be a new center back in camp.
Ooh,
Alfie Jones, Jimmy, from Middlesbrough, who's decided to play for Canada. He's a towering figure at the back of defense, but highly rated and a very good Middlesbrough team. And it does make you kind of wonder, right? Like, where does he fit into the whole center back conundrum once Moyes Bambido gets healthy?
Yeah.
You've got Derek Cornelius. You got Moyes. You got Luc de Vaugirard. You got Joel Waterman. You got Jamie Knight-Labelle, perhaps as well, in the equation at least.
That was really good.
What was?
The way you named everybody.
Really, is the bar that low here at Sirius XM?
It can be. Yeah. You've seen our virtual show.
You got every name right. Every name right. But where does he fit in here? I really see a reality where he is starting at the World Cup. I think he's that good.
I think
having watched no Middlesbrough games at all,
yeah.
I think he's that good.
I think you're out of your mind. I think with a healthy Moyes Bambido on track to come back for that March window, hopefully everything goes well there. And obviously other pieces of the back line injured too, right? And Alphonso Davies and Alistair Johnston. So a back line could look very different. But I don't think there's any way that you displace that center back duo of Derek Cornelius and Moyes Bambido.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think you're adding to your depth.
I'm
going to
agree with that as well.
Well, this should be a good conversation.
Yeah. we're disagreeing with you.
Playing devil's advocate. No,
we are disagreeing with you.
I think he's an upgrade on a Jamie Knight-Labelle who was not called into last window. 20-year-old, similar profile, more defensive, can play out of the back. Obviously, towering figure, can win and kind of defend on those set pieces. Maybe be an attacking threat and a target on attacking set pieces where Canada has looked better. Nico Gagnon, hired obviously by Jesse Marsh in Canada Soccer. So that's a facet of their game that they've improved. So I think he can be dangerous there. And I think he's a more experienced head than a Knight-Labelle. He's 28 versus 20, but a similar physical profile that I think can slot in. And I think fits into that gap between like the lower end of Joel Waterman and Kamal Miller and the top end of the guys that I mentioned in Cornelius and Bambido. He's kind of that middle area.
So you think he's probably third or fourth on the chart here.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Dufougerol is above him.
And if going into a World Cup, you're going to want to have 4 center backs, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So that could be Alfie Fujiwara. Yeah.
His age helps him too in that experience. Except how does he fit in and what happens over this window and how does he, if he gets a role and how he does. And
where's Middlesbrough right now? They're in champions.
Championship. Yeah, and very strong championship side. Okay, but if he's going to start for Canada, he's got to win that position. Because I agree with you right now, it's Cornelius, it's Bombido, one and two. Assuming Moyes gets healthy. Let's assume that he gets healthy. I understand that. But the question now is, okay, you've got Derek Cornelius, who never lets a team down. Really good player. Good for set pieces. Playing at Rangers in Scotland. Which brings up the argument, what is a stronger league? Is it the Championship? Is it the Scottish Premier League? Is Alfie Jones playing higher quality football right now than Derek Cornelius?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, and he starts for one of the best teams in that league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Marsh has mentioned how important club form is and minutes that you're getting at club and the quality of the minutes that you're getting. So he would have the edge there, but he hasn't played. He hasn't trained with the team yet, right? Mm-hmm. And we're getting very close to this World Cup.
You got a window in March. You got this window. You got probably two or three warm-ups before the World Cup. It's a lot of football. Now, he's a righty, a right-footed player as well. So's Moyes. Ideally, Jimmy, you want a right-footed centre-back and a left-footed centre-back.
Ideally.
But can you, if he's really good, can you have two that play?
Yeah, of course you can.
Right.
Of course you can. But ideally, you'd love to have a left-sided. Why are you laughing?
I'm so happy, like, you're engaged, you're here, you're not lounging, you're, like, at the ready, you're up.
Isn't like just left for the coffee?
I love the energy. I know.
Going, hey, Jimmy.
Came to have a drink of water.
It's great. Stay there. Yeah, stay for a while.
A thin layer of gabardine between us and Jimmy.
Can you repeat the question, please?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Is there a chance that Alfie Jones can play alongside Moyes Bembido at the World Cup?
Of course. Yeah, I think you see it all the time where you'll have maybe two left-footed center backs or two right-footed center backs. It's just those pairings. As long as they work and they communicate, you'll be fine.
I just like new shiny things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I be optimistic here? I listen, Derek Cornelius is fantastic, and so is Moyes Bembido. They've been a real story for this team under Jesse Marsh, but this guy's shiny and new and, you know, smells like the new defender smell, right?
Yeah, especially from Middlesbrough.
What is the new defender smell?
Alfie Jones.
Like a wallet or pair of shoes? What are we talking about?
I mean, you guys have been around football more than me. You tell me. What does a new defender smell like?
Musk.
Musk.
Is it a musk?
It's good, yeah. I think Jimmy's especially crotch. The profile that he cuts. It's musky, right? If you're categorizing center backs, he's more musky, whereas like a De Fougerol is more of like a, I don't know, like a bougie cologne.
No, he's more like Axe because he's so young. All these kids use Axe.
But I
potpourri.
Now, so a number nine, different like generation John David is, I think
would be something different.
Yes, they're like the Cadillac of, they're the Dracar Noir. Oh. Yeah.
I like that. I like
Chanel
that very much.
Five.
But I think we're discounting De Fougerol. I think he's made some strides recently.
I think he's in, like, just because he came on our show, I think he's in.
No, we said he's like third or fourth.
I think the age
but
is against him.
But Charms has Jones starting with Cornelius or with Bombido.
Well, you know, there's more and more rumblings that it's going to be a 30-man squad for this World Cup. We dismissed that, right? We thought that's stupid. That's too many. But more and more, the more you hear and read, it could be a 30-man World Cup, in which case, where do you add the extra players?
I might start training again.
You'd have a shot.
Yeah, get to 32, 33. Well, you know, get in there. Fifth goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the fifth goalkeeper smell like?
Yeah. Well, have a whiff.
Yeah, I know.
Old and
defeated.
Defeated. Yeah, that's right.
Like resigned.
A little splash of defeat.
Ode to defeat by Drake Forest.
Like your grandmother's sofa.
Yeah.
The plastic on it?
That's how I feel.
My grandma's. Go ahead.
One thing I'll just say is that we're getting into a stage now where it's almost getting too late, you know, for players coming in. We talked about this off camera and, you know, with what a few windows left, like the opportunities to make a difference, to, you know, prove yourself to Jesse Marsh and that confidence side of things, we're getting down to the last few. So I think that's against some players, like even Jones.
Yeah. But just because you have, you know, a partnership that works and it does work in DC, and Moyes, it doesn't mean you can't improve it. It's Canada, after all. This isn't Brazil or Spain or Germany. There's very few players in that team you can say that that cannot be improved upon. It's perfect the way it is.
Well, that center back pairing is perfect for me. They perform really, really well.
Perfect.
Internationally.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
Haven't let us down, but perfect. You can't get any better.
Well, you can get better, but you're not talking about, you know, top Premier League defenders here. You know what I mean? Like,
well, Moyes might be one day. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's perfect.
He's he might be perfect.
Yeah,
he? He might.
They perform incredibly well together, and I don't. If they're both healthy, that's the way they'll go.
Okay.
And the pace with the two of them. I think with Jones here, looking at him, not knowing a ton about him, and not having seen him play, I can't say that he doesn't have the pace, but he doesn't have the pace of a Cornelius, or certainly not a Bombido.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is he bringing to the table that's different, that's going to put him above those two? Mm-hmm. I don't know yet.
Did you see Mickey van der Ven yesterday for Spurs?
Yeah.
Defender. And that goal he scored?
Mm-hmm.
Defenders don't move like that. It's ridiculous how quick he is.
Just
how
big
he is.
Blistering
rapid,
pace.
Rapid.
Yeah.
What a goal that was.
And with a man down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. Okay. Well, staying with Canada, we saw Dane St. Clair get MLS goalkeeper of the year hours before he got smashed 4-2 by the Sounders.
Yeah.
Professional football, eh? Fleeting moments of wonder. And then you get brought right back down to reality. But does this, do you think, put Dane any closer to cementing those gloves? Do you think, Dubs? I mean, it's an award. For me, he's got the gloves anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think the award has anything to do with Jesse Marsh and his decision-making, though.
Makes it easier.
To justify?
Well, for non-football heads, like non-soccer, they'd be like, oh, I don't have a problem with this because he's the MLS.
Who cares about non-football heads?
People like me. No, but the people who are going to be joining...
You've become a football head.
No. People who are going to be joining the bandwagon and we're inviting everybody on. These are those things where they're like, why is this guy playing between the pipes, right? Like, I know that's very hockey-ish, but why is he there? All you have to do is go, oh, MLS goalkeeper of the year. And they go, okay, that's why he's there. Mm-hmm. So for us, and including me and JC, it's a level of, okay, we get it. We get it before, but we really get it now. Mm-hmm. But media is a big deal. And when people are joining the bandwagon, they want to know the best is out there. You can point towards this award.
In the professional football world, you can't base your...
No, I understand that. I'm not talking about that.
On awards. But I think at the end of the day, he's got to make the right decision. Jesse Marsh, of who he likes. He doesn't care about what awards you've won or what championships.
It's a good look, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Dane also thinks it's a good look.
Yeah, but football is all about opinions, right? And how many times you see somebody win an award and you're like, well, I don't think he should have got that.
Mm-hmm.
Or he doesn't deserve that award. And other people like it.
Three Hall of Famers here, right?
Wait a minute.
I don't like that one. But I understand what you're saying, but the bottom line is if he opts for Max to be his number one, a player that isn't playing any football over the MLS goalkeeper of the year, kind of crazy, isn't it? At this point, now I think Max is going to get a move somewhere and hopefully will refine his form and then that'll be interesting. Maybe TFC, as we discussed, those rumblings continue. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at this point, Max Crapaud, who cannot get a game with his club and the MLS goalkeeper of the year, it's pretty straightforward to me.
No, I would agree with that. I think that Dane has the edge anyway. I think Jesse's kind of shown that he likes that profile that he has and the situation that it is with Max not playing and another Canadian goalkeeper, Pantemis, keeping him out at Portland, which is, if I'm Pantemis, I'm wondering what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I not involved at some level? Wouldn't you be? Like, I mean, you'd be terribly disappointed.
And he was our third goalkeeper. In Qatar, right?
Jesse
and he hasn't
stubborn?
Really gotten a sniff.
He said, right, Dubs, Jesse, for months, he said, oh, no, they're my two goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
No one else, they're my two. Mm-hmm. Is he just too stubborn at this point? Because staring him right in the face is a goalkeeper that's keeping one of his choices out of the team.
I think there's an element of, kind of blinders on, and he's saying, I need to make this decision relative to my goalkeepers now. He wants to pick his number one, and yet we're talking about a guy who's got a Canadian grandmother and he's coming in as a center back solution, right? So a little bit of kind of contradiction in the way that he's rationalizing some of these decisions.
It's interesting, isn't it? There's that the Mexican kid as well. Flores. Marcelo Flores, who's being touted as being called up as well. Maybe just on the practice.
Where is he?
He's from here,
he's
though, right?
Tigres.
He's from Toronto, right? Or Ontario. Or,
yeah, Guelph, I believe. Yeah.
Right. So he's, you know, for him to play in Canada, it's not like, oh, my, you know, my third grandmother on my father's side is, like, I mean, I find these
third grandmother, what happened? Broken family.
Very broken. Mm. You want to go through it again?
that's pretty smashed up.
But he's like, he was, I remember his father was making intimations about him playing for Mexico, and he was trying, you were telling about Herdman and his recruitment, but what was going on with Flores?
Well, it was under John Herdman,
right,
that we initially heard him talked about, and he was aggressive in trying to pursue him, and then he chose Mexico.
Right.
And the last time he featured for them, I think, was the summer of 2022. And he's only played 3 matches. And I think the rule there is when you're under 21, you still have the ability to switch.
Okay.
Yeah, one switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a problem with
that. It's so funny right now. You know, there's so many experts on the league championship and the Mexican league right now. I haven't watched any of these teams, any of these players. I couldn't give you any kind of insight, which is a good reason to listen to Footy Prime on a daily basis.
There's a lot of football on. There's so much football on.
Yeah.
Like, you got to try to figure out what you're going to watch, right? And sometimes you're watching highlights of games because you can't possibly, there's not enough hours in the day.
Well, Jesse Marsh told us on the show, he said that he has his little team watching games, sending highlights to him every morning. He can't watch everything either.
Yeah.
Plus, right? He has to make his way down to the little walkway to so he can have his glass of wine.
And his olive squeezing.
Yes.
His olive milking.
Yeah. Hardworking Canadian head coach.
We still got the invite, by the way. He's still invited us over.
Yeah.
If we get a sponsor, we can afford a flight over to Italy.
Yes.
We're going to be on Jesse Marsh's couch.
Sirius XM sales. Let's get on it.
No pressure. But we have got an invite from Canada's coach to head to Tuscany. Where is he?
I think he is in
Sounds
Tuscany,
right?
Yeah.
Visa one. These are his keys. Yeah. Visa one.
Oh, it's an Italian accent. Yeah. Gotcha.
One thing that's got to be a little concerning for Jesse Marsh is that there's a lot of players we have right now that are not starting games.
Yeah. Including the big one.
Including the big one, Jonathan David.
4 minutes.
Promise David started on the bench midweek here. So came on in the 60th minute.
And I was thinking about Tanny Alawase, who, I said that all right, who went over to
Congratulations,
Europe.
Congratulations,
Juan. Yeah, I know. It's a big deal. But went over. Minnesota and Seattle are playing in their third match. They're tied, but he would be playing, back to what you're thinking. And he's not getting any playing time or very little over in Europe right now, right?
Well, he's getting
minutes. He's playing and he's scoring.
Got a hat-trick last week, but you're right. I mean, he's fighting for minutes for sure in a new club.
That's my point, yeah.
But MLS ends in a few weeks' time.
Right.
Right. After the international break, and then I think it's like 6 months now when the semifinals are played. The 6 months from now. Feels like that.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But so you know, if he was MLS, he wouldn't be playing anyway over the winter. Right. But the World Cup years are always interesting about players making moves over to Europe and to different clubs to get those minutes. Look at Stefan Eustachio right now. He can't buy minutes at Porto.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting. Central midfield's a fascinating battle right now. Some really good players.
And when he's playing for Canada, he looks great.
Fantastic. Yeah. So is that the point? They'll be fresh? Is that, if you look at the other side of the coin here, not getting minutes.
Yeah.
Really fresh for the World Cup.
Well, you want to get a certain amount of minutes. But some guys can do it though, right?
Jimmy? I'm not wrong though, am I? Yeah. They'll be fresh.
Some guys can do it. They can step in and not play minutes. Regularly.
Well, not fit.
The 30-man squad, who cares?
But Dubs, you were making this point the other day, just that people would be fresh because you played devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Were you only playing devil's advocate, guys, or was there truth to what you were?
I wasn't. Well, sometimes I play devil's advocate just to play devil's advocate, right. Just to be a dick. But I think, or to make the just to make the conversation interesting. But no, I mean, if you're not playing at all and you're still getting called into your national team, the question there is, why are you still getting called into your national team? There's obviously a precedent. You've played well. You've been an important piece, and you're called in for other reasons other than your club form. It's what you've meant for the badge. Right. But if it's between you and another player who is getting regular minutes, you would hope that it's going to go to the player who's getting regular minutes and who is in form. So it goes back to that depth piece. And I think Jesse Marsh, the reason why we're looking at an Alfie Jones is the depth piece, and I think a little bit of panic because of the rash of injuries that these guys are facing. It's not only guys not starting for their club outfits, important players for Canada, but I mean, the back line is absolutely destroyed, right? Liam Miller looks great, scores coming back for Hull, and then he does his hamstring. Mm-hmm. Alistair Johnson, okay, great, ahead of schedule, does his hamstring again.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, panic button being pushed. Like, it's maybe a little bit too late to bring new players into the mix, but we have no choice.
Right.
So should we be worried right now? You can't be worried. They're playing really well as a team. We've seen that the last windows. There's no reason for Canada fans to be concerned at this point, is there? Still months in the World Cup. Yeah, there's injury concerns. All teams have them. They'll come back. If you're a fan right now, Jimmy, are you worried?
No. Not worried at all. Still got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, yeah, we've got some injuries, but they'll be back. And just the big concern is you want these players playing, don't you? Week in and week out. And I like that they want Alfie Jones. I think that brings another player, bigger pool. Because when you go to the World Cup, you've got to take the best squad that you mm-hmm. have. You have to take the best. And this is just another player in their arsenal. And I think he's going to be very good for Canada.
It's and more
good,
competition good for spots.
28, he's experienced.
If they have 30-man squads, though, you need players that are going to be going, knowing that they're not going to play.
Do you think they'll really do it, though? 30 players?
I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying is that I've read and heard from a bunch of people on various platforms saying it's looking more and more. What's
that? The Mirror.
The Mirror. Yeah, the Daily Mail. Yeah. But it seems more and more likely that they're going to name a 30-man squad.
It's insane to me.
Commentator's nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine those benches.
What about your sticker book, Jimmy, that you get from Jess's Canadian dad? It's a thick fucking
from the
book.
Gas station.
It's going to be like that this year. All the teams.
Be like the phone book, right?
Well, speaking of World Cup, our friend system. Craig Forrest was doing some FIFA stuff last night.
Yeah, the Raptors game.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Tell us.
It was great. It was really fun. I was with Richie Larea and Maple, the Canadian mascot, and the other mascots from Mexico and the United States were there too. The American one, I think, was it Clutch? I think it's called.
You should
Clutch.
Know.
I should know.
Were the mascots, fighting?
I went to shake his hand. He was like a little edgy.
Wow.
Oh, I was like, is this a Canadian?
Because that was just
thing?
A furry. That was just a normal dude.
That's right.
It wasn't the mascot.
It wasn't really the mascot. It was that after night club.
Yeah,
it was
the convention after the game.
Greg was on his mushrooms and he thought that he was with the. Okay. So you sat courtside, I think, right?
Yeah.
And tell us the story.
Yeah. So, MLSE were fantastic. They're buttoned down and everything they do in that arena. Every little bit of dead space and time is looked after with dancers and whatever. And so they told us they were going to come out with the mascots and the first time out in the second half. Mm-hmm. So it's an extended break. So they go to commercial for like 2.5 minutes. They introduce us, but by the time they introduce all the mascots and then us.
Who's us?
Richie Larea, myself, and then Jason.
The mascots got top billing and then it was.
Oh, yeah. It was a big like spiel for the mascots. And then it was like, oh, Canada Sports Hall of Fame, Craig Forrest.
Hey. Did you get a bigger cheer than Clutch, at least?
It was hard to tell.
Really?
Did they do anything with the mascots? Did they have like a race or something?
No. They kind of went, would you go out there and kick the ball back and forth? And then we did a little bit and it was.
You and Richie?
The ball was flat.
You and Richie flat. Or you and the mascots?
Well, they wanted me and Richie and the mascots, but I mean, we're talking 2.5 minutes, right? So like by the time we did that and we saw Alex McKechnie because he's come off the bench for the Raptors and that was great to see him and he was excited to see us out there and yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Was Richie chirping out there?
Yeah, you know what? He's a completely different human being when he's not on the pitch.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Nice and
quietly spoken, just a lovely guy, just an absolutely super human being.
You got a little chastised for something though. You were talking to me about.
What's that?
Stealing the gum.
Stealing the candy.
Oh, right. Yeah, because we're courtside.
You tell me what I was chastised for.
Yeah. Can I walk you into it a little more?
Like I was so excited. You got Giannis there and all the Bucks and Doc Rivers, the coach. He's standing right in front of me. And there's gum on that. Like I was like, this court side's amazing. They got gum on there and they just had some candies and all like little snacks. And so I helped myself, and then I got the fan next to me. He sits there all the time. He's like, I think that's just for the Bucks. I'm like, what do you mean?
That's funny.
These are $3,000 tickets. How do you mean they're for the Bucks? Yeah. Those guys aren't paying anything to sit here.
That is funny.
When I step on your foot and say hello, Mr. Thompson, you say hello.
I think he's talking to you. Yeah.
But even they have some problems down there because there was there wasn't when Richie came, because he was a little bit later, there wasn't enough seats. And there was guys next to me, super nice guys that go to the games all the time. And they usually sit courts, like right up a row and like court side and over a bit. And they had duplicate tickets. So they have some issue online technically, because apparently where I was sitting was the used to be the away play-by-play guys. And I guess MLSE were like, hold on a minute. These are $3,000 tickets. Right. We're going to move them. And even the Sportsnet Raptors guys, they're now sitting second row as opposed to front row, and they're squeezed together. So all these big money tickets are now available to people, right? Which I don't think they actually sold. So they're give them to Muppets like us. But it's a different game down. Like that's one sport. Like it's just such a brilliant experience sitting courtside.
Yeah, the closer you are at a basketball game, the better it is, where you can't always say that about other sports.
Yeah,
yeah, but it wrecks it a little bit too now, because you're not going to enjoy it next time you go to the Raptors game.
Yeah, exactly.
By comparison, right?
Sitting in row eight. It's like a disgrace.
Should we also have Craig regale the fact that talking about those seats that are being monetized now, that space that you had an extra ticket that you failed to mention to all of us before like
well,
2 minutes?
Well, only failed because I got Sandra Gage working with
name people and, we like that
and former CSA. She's like, hey, do you know anybody who'd want to come to the game? I'm like, well, it's 45 minutes until tip off. Like, I'm not sure I can find somebody that quick.
Wonga lives half an hour away.
Well, I texted Wonga and then I put you guys online. You guys were like, oh, I talked to you this morning. Oh, you didn't mention that. I was like, no, because I didn't know.
Well, I had talked the other thing is I had talked to Craig around 4:30 and go, hey, I'm excited for you. This is great. They're thinking of you, all that kind of stuff. And then Jimmy and I are like, between us, we spoke an hour and a half to Craig and he didn't mention it. So we felt jilted. Yeah. We were jilted.
I was upset about the whole thing.
Totally understood. I understand that completely. Yeah. But it was a late show and I was a little frustrated by that.
Yeah.
So you just sat on both seats.
Yeah.
Just lounged. I was just like leaning.
I was laying all over Richie. I was like, Richie, this is great.
Man spreading.
Yeah.
This time, Craig actually had room for his very long legs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Well, it's my torso, really.
Well, look how tall he looks right now. It is his torso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a strangely built human being.
It's like an ironing.
I really am. I'm a freak.
It worked for you, though.
If I had the right torso, I'd be only 5'3".
But do you think that is kind of what made you a great goalkeeper? Right? Is that what made you a great goalkeeper?
Maybe, because I could move my feet better than most tall guys because my legs were only for a 5'4" guy.
So you're a good dancer. You're a pretty good dancer.
Well, when I want to be.
Yeah.
I got to get the right song.
Craig kind of looks like when you take, somebody and you put someone
what
on their
song?
Yeah, like an Awesome Powers. Awesome Powers.
Yeah.
It totally is. Halloween next year. Trench coat.
He's got a mini me under him.
All right, listen, we should probably call it quits for today's podcast. Right? That's what
we were going to do.
20 minutes in.
Well, we also only started at 13.
So. Oh, okay. And then we'll keep going.
Let's just do it. Yeah, I've got a couple. Okay. We did a show on Monday, which was featuring a lot of Whitecaps content. And with that, we've got 27 comments, which is great. But the one which was interesting to me was from our friend at Mountains Are Fake. I love the name, so thank you, Mountains Are Fake. If Ali Ahmed and or Jaden Nelson get injured during internationals, I'm going to lose it on Jesse Marsh. Is this the first time in recent memory that people would be so upset about an like we usually talk about Canada soccer, whether it's men's or women's, but we're talking club now that may take, and you're a Vancouver native, when we have Ace on, Raymond, half the time to go on, like to talk on Fridays about the Whitecaps, but this may be the first time in my memory that we're talking about club play.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, when clubs are certainly in a position like Vancouver at the
which
the
hasn't moment. Happened is my point. Exactly. Not for a while.
Exactly.
Right.
With Canadian internationals being at the forefront.
Yeah.
And important players.
Yeah.
For Vancouver. Yeah. That is a worry for sure. If you're a Vancouver fan and obviously most Vancouver fans are Canadian national team right. fans too, but yeah, there is always that chance.
But timing sucks this way. The timing of this right. window for MLS sucks
yeah.
more than any other league.
But then the fans yeah. would be looking at two things. It's only friendlies. You know, if it was a World Cup, of course, players got to go. But they're thinking about themselves now. They want Vancouver to win a championship. And they're in a good mm-hmm. position. They've got a good squad. And they're worried that if they go to the friendlies and they get injured, they're in trouble.
If you're a player, I mean, if you're Ali Ahmed, for example, who's really worked his way into a starting spot for Canada, Jesse Marsh loves him. But you have this massive, massive few weeks left in the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to be in this window internationally as a former player, Jimmy? Would you? I mean, playing for your country is pretty special. I get that.
It is. It is. It's always special.
He's got the job, I think.
But if I'm Ali, maybe he's thinking, well, we could do with a miss of this game.
Perhaps, but
he's still got to go to the national team.
World Cup coming up. Like
it's a tough one for him.
I think it is a tough one. And then also at that age, you're invincible. You're not thinking about getting injured.
Yeah.
100%.
Or any chance of that. It's just.
That's not in your head as a player.
Never really worried about getting injured.
Really?
Yeah. And the minute that you started, that's when you were maybe close to the end, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it shouldn't ever be front of mind.
Yeah.
That's but you why still see players pulling out challenges. Remember, who was it? Wasn't it Beckham got a yellow card on purpose to get a suspension so he'd miss
that
out
happens.
The next.
That yeah. happens.
That happens.
Right. So yeah. in that case, you're not.
How you old was he? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I can barely remember the story. But it's happened before, though, right? Players getting intentional yeah. yellows, so they will miss the next game, which means.
Get arrested.
You're right. So they're not 100%.
I've, and you have as well. We've played with guys before that an international window was coming up, and they'd say they had an injury, so they didn't have to travel.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. is that your.
Well, no, okay, get going to it, guys. Me and Wong are doing some producing on the fly here.
That's right.
But these are important games. I actually wanted to ask you. So this window for our men's national team, Ecuador,
yeah,
right? A little over a week from now, yeah. and then Venezuela.
Okay.
These are important matches for this team when you're looking ahead to the World Cup. So if you're a guy like Ali Ahmed, of course your club play is important. They're on the cusp of something really extraordinary with yeah. Vancouver. But you're also thinking you're projecting towards next summer and your place in that squad.
Yeah. I mean, look, you want to play as many games as you can going into this World Cup. And Jesse Marsh will want that as well, right? He'll want this core group that he has playing as many games so that we are ready to go into this World Cup. So Ali Ahmed's probably looking at it thinking, you know, I can't afford not to go because I want to start at the World Cup. And if I have two good showings, mm-hmm. and I come back and I do well with the Whitecaps, then I might be starting in a World Cup.
Mm-hmm. He's in a good spot.
He's in a good spot.
Yeah.
We had some comments from David Day, 2373. We're gonna throw out a couple of them. But this one is, the best of three in first round has been awesome 3 years in a row now. Stop the fake whining. We've had marquee rivalries in the first round go three each year with epic upsets. Sporting KC upsets the debutante and one seed St. Louis in 2023. Messi and Miami get booted by Atlanta last year, and we're headed into a game three in the Hell is Real playoff. 2-7 matchup. So we did
Columbus. Hell is real.
Yeah. And Hell is real.
What? Hell is real.
That's really? The nickname for that Ohio Derby.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cincinnati, is it Cincinnati and
Columbus? Oh,
Columbus.
Okay.
Hell is real, you know, living in Columbus.
and if you're a prick, they pronounce it Hell is Real.
Mm. Okay, so are we whinging too much?
I know you said no. Did you make that up?
Yes, of course I did. I was for a laugh.
Sorry.
Just ignore me.
I'm not used to it.
I laughed.
Thank you, Jimmy. I laughed. I laughed. 2D dubs. And yeah, it's weird having dubs in person.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But, you know, by the way, it's not fake whining. I do hate it. You can have classics in the conventional two-leg matches mm-hmm. as well. Right? So it's not a fake whine. It's a legitimate whine. I don't like it.
Yeah. Acknowledge our real whining. Yeah. It's legitimate whining.
I just, like, it's odd. It's, for me, it's just an odd setup. the best of three.
Yeah.
Then the 1-1-1.
I think they're trying to, at least in the first round, have the better teams over three games should be the ones.
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, as opposed to one-offs.
Okay. And like we saw with
Danny Dicchio at Detroit in the USL.
Right.
8 seed beating number 1 seed in a one-off game.
The jeopardy in one-offs is amazing. The pain, you know, the tension, the energy, even in two-legged playoffs, which we're more used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're
like
get
in
that
NSL in
round.
A semifinals. You're going to see that, right? Yeah. And shout out to Thomas Mueller, who was at Swangard Stadium yesterday when Vancouver hosted
with
Ottawa.
Did
the coin toss and was enjoying some of the concessions and food trucks at Swangard as well. He's just stuck in, right?
He's just
completely bought in.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see.
Sharms said his marketing team hasn't missed a beat. So his manager, he needs a raise, a 12% raise, Thomas. Because
everything he's done since he's been in Vancouver, like somebody's really telling him. You know, Terry Fox t-shirt he shows up to, you know what I mean? Like these really Canadian things. Wearing a poppy at the game.
And spilling the beans on Blackman. Remember when he was going to get selected for the, was it Blackman? No.
Yeah, it was Blackman.
Yeah. For the U.S. men's national team?
Yes, it was.
That's right. His first one.
Right? Like, and he was like, what? And he was like, but he's
Remember the Lederhosen too? With Ralph Priso's number?
Yeah.
Or Ralph Priso had his number, I should probably say. And gave him the Lederhosen.
Uh-huh.
Could he be the best DP ever? Meaning just all round, just great player,
he's not
great guy, bought into the city, the culture.
He's an owner.
Team player.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Like he gets it, a guy that
the all-round
understands
package
is the end of his career, but on the field has delivered.
Yeah,
with massive goals.
I think. Well, the narrative.
It's the DP intangibles that he's bringing, right?
But the narrative we've been talking about is
over
the
here, apparently.
DP kind of DP off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
DP off.
That's 99%.
Brought to you by Cialis.
Trevor and Craig's history in his computer.
99.9% of men have experienced erectile dysfunction once in their life. I don't know if that's true.
What percentage?
99.9%.
Oh, that's definitely true.
There was a question for you, Dubs. About the NSL going straight to penalties.
Which I answered.
Did you? Yeah, you did.
Of course
you did. Okay, well, answer it on the podcast. Dubs is away goals.
You bet she does.
Dubs is away goals in effect for NSL playoffs. If games are tied on aggregate, do they go straight to PKs? And Dubs says, extra time and pens if tied
on
aggregate.
She's such a busybody.
So there is an aggregate.
It's over.
There are aggregate. Okay.
Yeah. And our final comment goes back to David Day, 2373. Thank you for all your comments. LA versus Canada. I guess he meant LA versus Blue Jays. Kendrick versus Drake. Dodgers versus Blue Jays. LAFC. So basically he's saying Kendrick, Dodgers, and LAFC are all going to win. So just FYI.
You're just saying there's a big LA-Canada rivalry right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems. Within the sporting sphere and the rap sphere as well.
Yeah, and Hardhag 8893 said, we are not Toronto. Wanted to make that. And David, once again, answered, but you are Canada. So there you go. It's all been wrapped up by David Day, 2733 or whatever number.
I want to ask you guys something. If the Whitecaps lose to LAFC, this tremendous season that they've had, you said Thomas Mueller, the icing on the cake of, you know, yes, they lost in the CCC final and it's been impressive. It's been remarkable, but they lose to LAFC. Is it a disappointment?
Yes, I think it would be.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a shock.
It wouldn't be a shock. No.
Right.
No. Well, and more, remember we were always doing the comparison. Does Sun win that conversation about best DP?
Well, actually, there was a comment here, which was hammering.
Get your hands off my computer.
Ooh. I mean, trust me, I don't want to touch your hands.
So
P. Coleman, 1971, have to disagree with Wonger. From a fame perspective, Sun is not a bigger name than Mueller. Yes, LAFC is obviously the bigger market than Vancouver, but if we're talking about marquee players, I'm going with Mueller. No, I am talking about fame, not playing ability. Still, I would say Mueller's had a better career than Sun.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah. Like, well, I think he's the...
It's not even comparable.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even comparable.
Wait for the comments.
Not comparable, Jimmy Brennan says.
Let's look at what Mueller's won and what Sun has won in his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put your trophies on the table.
Right?
Yeah. Has there been a bigger sports star in Vancouver than Mueller in anything?
I don't think
Big
so.
Country. It's been 30 years since Big Country played for the Grizzlies.
That's right. I remember it's a Big Country. Yeah,
that's right. Well, I mean, how many teams? So you got the Canucks. No hockey player is bigger than Mueller ever.
No,
no,
globally. I feel it's good saying that. Yeah. Hey, Craig.
Yeah,
you're gonna get stick for that. You know it, right?
And I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah,
but it's true. Mm-hmm. Sorry, hockey fans, as I'm one. But yeah. you don't. Hockey doesn't touch a lot of other sports globally. No. Globally.
People in Africa will know who Mueller is. South America will know, and there's like south of the
everywhere.
CFL,
CFL,
Louis Pasaglia.
Oh, Louis. Who was the biggest Grizzly, by the way?
Good guy.
Outside Big Country, there was never a star there, was there?
The Grizzlies,
Bibby.
Yeah, okay. But even back in those days, the NBA wasn't even close to what it is now.
No,
globally.
No, you're right.
Right. So Mueller is the biggest. Is the answer. Yeah, Miller's the biggest star.
Yeah,
global star.
Global star, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Who's a better player, Miller or Son? No, let's not go there. Yeah. It's always fun, isn't it?
But well, they're both over the hill.
They're different,
Right? Hey, it's hard to compare.
Very different.
You asked the question, is he the best DP ever? Now, Beckham came over, won a championship, brought eyeballs to LA, to MLS. I think did a really good job, embraced that community as well. He's still there now in Miami, right? That was a massive success story.
Huge.
Right? So maybe he's got... By the way, Beckham was knighted this past week. Sir David Beckham.
Golden balls.
Golden
That's
balls.
That's right, himself.
When you played against him, would you have believed he'd become a sir one day?
Yes. Yeah.
He was huge in England.
Yeah.
Huge.
And the documentary does actually do a really nice job of, you know, just going through the ups and downs of his career and how there was a time when he was getting slaughtered in every stadium except for Old Trafford. Nasty.
Yeah.
Vicious.
Okay, well, here's one for you.
Turn it around.
You must get this. Is Beckham the biggest name in the game's history? Biggest name. So the biggest name is in soccer history. You got Maradona. Known for his football, number one. The scandal, massive. People know about Maradona. Pele, known just for his brilliance from 57 as a 17-year-old. Just Pele, the gold Brazilian shirt. You got guys like Platini, who was a star player as well as synonymous with the whole bladder era of football as well. You got some wonderful, big, global, iconic names. Dubs, I think Beckham might be the biggest name just from what he's done post-career. That's overshadowed him as a footballer.
Brand-wise.
He was a great footballer.
Which is saying something, because I think he transcended the game even when he played it. Yeah. Like, I think he was the first player, I think we talked about this a couple of years ago when we were talking about Beckham and the documentary, as you referenced, Forrest. They're the first one to really, even before the age of social media, to have a brand that was his own, that was his currency beyond the pitch. So in that regard, I agree with you. But I think globally, and then going back to the Sun-Mueller argument, what are the names known in footballing circles? I think Pele and Maradona are still above Beckham.
Yes.
Where does Ronaldo and Messi fit? I mean, Messi's known for his football, not really the brand. But in this modern age, you simply have a brand because of how good you are. Ronaldo's gone above and beyond football.
Yeah.
And he said this week he's close to retiring, and when he retires, he won't be part of football. He's working on all these different business side of
things. Dracar, Ronaldo.
Right. But he's kind of like the new
No,
Beckham.
He still uses Axe body spray.
Only he was also arguably the best player of all time, whereas Beckham was never that.
Well, I got to say that looks come into play.
Valid point. Yeah, Peter Beardsley isn't...
Like, Ronaldo's got... How many, like, he's got a good percentage of women that are following him on social media.
Which Ronaldo are you talking about?
Right.
Not the original one, put it that way.
And Messi does too, but he's not a Greek god like Ronaldo is.
He's not just a gargoyle, though.
Huh?
He's not a gargoyle either.
Yeah, but no. Think about Messi. Sorry. Think about Messi with 30 pounds on him like Ronaldo, the old Ronaldo. He would be a bit of a gargoyle.
He wasn't. Listen.
30 pounds on Messi is what I'm saying. Listen, I think we're going to AI
won't have
this.
Anyone speak the quality of the original Ronaldo ever.
No, he look.
Ever.
No. He was amazing.
You watch your mouth.
Little chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah. needs a new suit.
He's allowed to get fat, okay? Well, he did in his career.
Yes.
I think worldwide appeal, I think Ronaldo is probably the biggest.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think this conversation in 10 years' time, he will, because he'll do a lot post-career outside of football that elevates his brand even further. He could be the next Beckham, but only bigger. And he has the CV to back it as far as being the greatest player, arguably, nice. Of his era.
He's going to be a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. He said that in the Piers Morgan interview. Yeah. Yeah. He said one of his goals before 39 was to be a billionaire, and he's reached that, and he's very proud of it. Shut up.
Just showing off now, isn't he?
He's just showing off. God. JC?
So if that's the case, the biggest sport in the world is obviously soccer, but does that make Beckham or potentially Ronaldo the biggest athlete ever? Or is there someone else whose brand, whose play supersedes that? Because I can think of
just like Jordan.
Just play.
That's it.
Yeah.
But also, Stax knows all the... what is
social
it?
Media?
The social media and the followings. Mm. What does Ronaldo have?
Over a billion.
Over a billion.
Yeah.
So if we look at the best hockey player, what, Wayne Gretzky? Probably not. What would he be?
Nothing. Well, I mean,
or I don't think that's Michael a really
Jack,
good
David
or
different generation.
Or say sorry.
Comparable.
No, you're right. Or LeBron James.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron James is not even close.
Connor McDavid.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Craig is more than Connor McDavid.
Like, yeah.
So it shows you the soccer players are
for sure the clout huge globally, worldwide, yeah. Right? Yeah.
But Jordan, you're right. Jordan had the shoes, right? And that elevated his brand. Mm. So no matter where you are in the world, you may not be a basketball fan, but you love your Jordans.
Well, and you liked Nike. Remember how Nike ran with that? I mean, there's, you know, the air up there, all that kind of stuff. Nike really pushed them because they had the marketing behind it all. And I mean, to the point where teams, Canada, Olympic teams, hey, where's my Nike uniform? I want Nike. Like, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And now Nike's kind of gone like this. So I'm wondering.
Did you guys watch that movie going that way. About Michael Jordan
and Nike? Shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
It was amazing.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. Well, listen, we're definitely at time
now. We're perfect. 45 minutes.
Oh, look at that.
Or 46 now.
Yeah, good enough. Good enough. We'll take it.
Yeah, right. And just remember, everybody, 99.9% in my experience of adult men have experienced erectile dysfunction.
On the Men's Health Podcast, which is coming soon, so to speak.
Yes.
Or not in this case.
Or not.
we'll definitely have one on your erectile dysfunction.
That's right. Let's do it. On mine, I said 99.9% in my experience.
All these facts.
I'm the 0.1%. Never happened.
Oh God. Anyway, keep that computer away from me. Jesus Christ! Don't close it. You won't be able to open it again. All right. Make sure you like and subscribe and follow us and leave comments. And we love being in the studio at SiriusXM. It's nice to be in person.
Mm-hmm. It is
different kind of energy. You know, it takes a while to kind of get loose. Don't you find that?
Yes.
Kind of so used to the older 2D virtual
setup. And we used to do this a lot.
We started off this way, didn't we? Yeah.
In a shed.
Or
a garage or whatever, we'd make it work.
99.9% of podcasts start off in a shed, in my experience.
As does erectile dysfunction. In a shed.
Asterisk, anecdotal.
All right, that's it. It's pretty prime. We're back at some point. Don't know when, but it won't be here. But maybe next week. All right, bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Like and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter
did
and Instagram.
Did you?
No,
I did.
I don't know.
I actually did. I just did that. All right, good.
Thanks, Aaron.
That was fun. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Sam.
All right. We're not done yet.
They left. They went home.